Welcome to this episode of City Talks, where we'll be looking at the tensions between cities and regions in UK policymaking. It's a fact of history that prosperity is never equally distributed across a country. As a result, most governments have an interest in trying to reduce the disparities between places. In part, the incentive is to reap the economic windfall from integrating struggling areas into the national economy, but rebalancing is also a political response to the ideals of national and regional solidarity. Traditionally, attempts to reduce disparities between places in the UK have been approached through a regional lens, often simply called regional policy. But in recent years, the focus has shifted to cities as the crucial levers that will rebalance the economy. So in 2010, the incoming coalition abolished Labour's regional development agencies and instituted a policy of city deals, where cities could bid for devolution packages that would encourage growth. In 2014, the Chancellor announced a much bigger deal for Greater Manchester, which has sparked off a race in other cities to mimic the Mancunian combined authority in order to receive similar powers and prerogatives. So has the traditional regional focus been superseded, and what tensions have been created by the shift to a city region? Joining me to discuss these questions, I have Brian Groom, former senior editor at the Financial Times, Heather Jameson, editor of the MJ, and Paul Dale, chief blogger at Chamberlain Files. Brian, let's turn to you first. I've skated over the background, the sort of interrelationship, the tensions between region and cities. Give us a little sense as to what actually happened in 2010 with Labour's RDAs and the coalition city deals, and what was your sense as to why that move happened?
Well, I think to some extent the move was already happening before the 2010 election. Labour had come in with Labour itself was divided between John Prescott's regional agenda and Tony Blair's city mayor's agenda. And basically they kind of cancelled each other out in some ways. Prescott managed to get regional development agencies through, but didn't manage to get elected regional assemblies through. It went down in flames in a referendum in the North East in 2004. So Labour was already kind of the only other game in town. If you can't get devolution to regions, is the cities. And Labour was already shifting in that direction towards combined authorities before the election happened. But then the coalition government came in. The Tories in particular wouldn't have anything to do with anything with the word region in it. So all vestiges of regionalism were thrown out, and we got a shift towards a more patchwork quilt through local enterprise partnerships, many of them around city regions, but not wholly. And it's kind of a bit of a precursor to what we're seeing now in the devolution agenda. So the focus has definitely shifted towards smaller functional economic areas with the city regions in the forefront of that.
Okay. And Heather, give us your perspective on, you know, what we've seen over the last, I suppose, 5 or 6 years. Because in some respects, you know, we started with city deals, then we had growth deals, we had some places, and increasingly we're moving to all places or many more places. Is that just a sort of response to what about me from that we've often heard from other places? What's your perspective on that?
I think
that?
It is. I think the Treasury is focused very much on the cities. I think the problem with the regional agenda has been up until now that nothing's stuck.
Yeah.
So the RDAs, the LEPs, they've almost they're almost 10-year plus projects which have been given 2 or 3 years to succeed and not managed within that time frame. Whether they would or they wouldn't remains to have been seen. But the focus on the cities and the big deals like Manchester has led, in terms of local government, people to want the devolution of powers across the whole of the country. I think the general feeling is that whereas we started with cities, we shifted to other areas outside city hubs, like Cornwall. Moving on from there, we will be looking at large chunks of the country being enveloped into regional areas with devolution of powers. But the question is, there are still some areas that aren't quite on that bandwagon yet. What happens to them? Will they just be left with very, very basic services there?
And is that because you know, the demands and the needs of those places are increasingly being heard. They're becoming more vocal in a response to what people perceive as being an urban biased agenda.
I think there is an urban biased agenda under the current government, under the Treasury. The cities are the darlings of the Treasury at the moment. And you can see that, by the way, the finance settlement was put in place this time. And I think for the counties, there's no easy answer. For city hubs, there's a very strong economic case. There's almost boundaries. You know, that you can argue about where the boundaries are on a city, and a mayor makes sense in most places. When you look at counties, a mayoral model doesn't make sense in the same way. There is no the economic work area. It doesn't make sense in the same way, and it's a much harder prospect. So they are requiring something that works for them, and there is a hunger for the powers. Yes. But without the easy answer of how it's going to look in the future.
No, quite. Paul, just you're a keen observer of all matters, but particularly matters in and around West Midlands. Obviously, West Midlands had one of the famed regional development agencies, I think much liked by some in the area, but much disliked by others. But just give us a sense as to that transition from the RDA to the more city-based working arrangements. And your perspective on that, and then we'll get into other issues.
Well, I think, to be fair, the RDA was pretty much disliked by most elected councillors.
Right.
And I don't know whether Birmingham and the West Midlands is unusual, but what I can tell you is that at a political level, there is really a huge cynicism about the whole devolution agenda. And that's not just coming from the Conservative side, although they certainly are cynical about it. It's coming really at a basic political grassroots level with people saying, well, we're being forced into this, we don't want a Metro mayor. Birmingham voted against having a city mayor in 2012, and so did Coventry for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
I think the feeling is that we've got to do this because the government is forcing us to do it, and if we don't do it, then we're going to miss out. But there's certainly, I don't think, any great enthusiasm for it, certainly at the political grassroots level. And that is compounded, of course, by regional jealousies based on the size of Birmingham. And so the seven West Midlands metropolitan councils, of which Birmingham is by far the largest, of course, there have been decades of suspicion about Birmingham because it's so large. And that has just simply really been magnified by the whole combined authority debate. So in some ways it's quite remarkable that the council leaders have actually got where they are.
Yeah, and interestingly, I mean, particularly in West Midlands is probably a good example. The North East is quite a good example, where we do seem to be in the process of reintroducing, not perfectly, but we do seem to be fairly close to reintroducing regional institutions that were abolished 5, 6, 7 years ago. What's your thought on that?
Well, they're probably a bit more like the metropolitan county organisations that were abolished in 1986, and some of the old tensions around those are still there.
They're like in other places like Bristol as well, aren't they? Quite.
I think I never cease to be amazed by what's going on at the moment. We've got, I mean, what we've got essentially is a Conservative-driven drive by a party whose roots are in the shire counties and small towns, driving devolution to the big cities.
It's got virtually no support among their members.
And which is, I mean, if you believe that they're the right way to go, that the city regions are economically the right units and going to be the drivers of the economy, the history of the last 20 years teaches you to be very cautious about where we're going to end up, because who knows? It's been driven by George Osborne, but what's going to be the outcome of the EU referendum? That could sweep Osborne and Cameron away and be replaced by Boris Johnson, who knows what, who might have a completely different agenda in all this.
Yeah. Heather, a more national perspective, I mean, is some of the concerns and cynicism that Paul was just talking about in West Midlands, is that replicated elsewhere, or can we see that? And is it replicated in counties more so than urban areas, or not?
Well, I think certainly it's replicated elsewhere. Just going back to the point that you made, I think there is a big question mark over what would happen if George Osborne wasn't in the government and whether this would continue. But going back to your point, I think in terms of jealousies and joint working across city regions, there is always grudges and histories and personal difficulties that are causing tensions within this. But what's made matters worse across the county areas, which is less of a problem within cities, is that we're now looking at various different areas, possibly the most famous of which at the moment is Oxfordshire, tying it in with reorganisation. And from what we can gather, the government is offering places more powers if they don't go for a mayor, but if they still go for reorganisation. So you're then not only looking at areas joining up, you're also looking at scrapping councils. So they're effectively fighting for their lives rather than just fighting for supremacy across who has more power within a combined authority. And that those sorts of tensions are making things incredibly difficult in some areas.
Yeah,
I mean, the other point is, of course, because this is a bottom-up led.
In theory,
you do end up with some rather peculiar geographical constructions. For example, parts of Warwickshire have decided to, shire districts in Warwickshire have decided to join the West Midlands Combined Authority, although they're non-constituent members at the moment, so won't be able to vote for the Metro Mayor, but that's another story. While other parts of Warwickshire are seemingly hedging their bets on, well, we don't think devolution's a very good idea and it's not going to last.
Yeah.
Or, well, we think that we might hitch a lift with Leicestershire and other parts are further to the east. So, who knows where this is going to end? Because there are other shire districts in Staffordshire and Worcestershire that may well join the West Midlands Combined Authority in time.
You're seeing that around Sheffield and around Leeds as well. There are the incredibly complicated Yorkshire discussions, partly about the overall decision. Do you have a Leeds City region or a Yorkshire-wide one? But also, if you're going to have a Leeds, then is Harrogate and Craven in it? And is Chesterfield in Sheffield, or is it in Derbyshire and Nottinghamshire?
So then, I suppose, I mean, reflect on this, you know, the idea that you have these tensions and difficulties. Am I in or am I out? Am I in a West Midlands deal, or am I in or out of a Sheffield deal, or a Leeds deal if you're Selby and Craven? Yeah, no one seems to quibble with the fact that they're in Yorkshire or they're in the West Midlands as a region. So what's the affinity towards Yorkshire or to their region that doesn't seem to hold when then you get into conversations about, you know, Leeds City region? I mean, what is it? Is it because these are artificial constructs that don't really resonate with how people live their lives or how they think about their identity? I mean, Heather, what are your thoughts on that?
I would say that it's very clear that you may be a Yorkshireman and you may be sort of from West Yorkshire, wherever.
Yeah.
But actually, what's your economic hub? And that's the question for local authorities. What they've got to try and do is, particularly as we're looking at devolved business rates, where is your economic growth coming from?
That's the sort of the rational, reasoned argument. The emotional and intuitive response is actually I'm a Yorkshireman or a Yorkshire woman, and that's where I feel affinity to. Or is that not fair?
It's, well, possibly, but you can feel affinity to more than one place.
Yeah, of course.
And I would suggest that the difficulty that we have is that this is so much pinned onto economic growth.
Right.
That actually you can feel as emotional as you want about a place, but actually if it's not financially viable because someone has made the wrong decision about which place you are connecting up to, if you don't have the sort of transport hubs, if you can't travel to work, if you don't have the housing growth because you're in a different area, then does it matter if you like being from Yorkshire?
Yeah.
If you like to pretend that this is more of an emotional and strong connection than the place you work, then it's, you know, and if your local authority isn't viable enough to be able to provide adult social care services or any of the other hundreds of services they provide, then it doesn't really matter. The emotion is less important.
No, quite. Because no one's advocating for a return of the Northwest, whatever the Northwest may or may not be. I mean, no one sort of says if they're in Greater Manchester, what I really want to be in is a Greater Northwest. And there may be some differences in West Midlands. I'll come to you in a minute, Paul. But Brian,
I think identity is still there. You can never quite take it out of the equation, particularly in England.
Right.
And I recently moved to Saddleworth, which is just in the west side of the Pennines. But in 1970, it was historically in West Riding of Yorkshire.
Right.
1974, it was shoved into Oldham Borough.
Yeah.
They've hated it ever since. There's a White Rose Society dedicated to restoring it to its previous status. They don't like what Oldham does to their schools and housing things. But I think actually that overall, if you look at the country as a whole, there's a huge difference between what happened in the 1970s when a lot of historical loyalties were shaken up. And now it really is, I think, in a sense, it's largely about economic calculation. And to some extent political as well, but mainly economic calculation. We don't want to be left out of this. Where is our best advantage going to be? And that's quite heartening in a way. They're trying to take pragmatic decisions about what's in the interests of the people living there in the long term. I think that's quite a good thing on the whole.
Mm. Paul, give us the sort of West Midlands sort of perspective.
Look, here's the thing. The West Midlands Combined Authority is based on three local enterprise partnerships.
Yes.
Greater Birmingham and Solihull, the Black Country and Coventry and Warwickshire.
Mm-hmm.
Three together, very large areas with a huge economic clout.
Yeah.
Some of the districts, councils in those areas have opted not to be in the combined authority. From an economic point of view, you would think that the government, any government, would think it would be a very good idea for those three LEPs to act as the template, as it were, for a combined authority. So why has the government not legislated for this? Why is the government saying, well, it's nothing to do with us, it's up to you. If you want to do it, you come to us and talk to us and we'll sort you out. But we're not going to force you, we're not going to force your hand. Well, that's a recipe for inefficiency, isn't it? And for nothing very much happening in quite a lot of cases.
Yeah, I agree. I would definitely agree with that. So what's your answer to your question?
Well, my answer to my question is that clearly George Osborne has felt probably quite rightly that he can't do any better than he's doing because his own party would take fright because they don't believe in it.
Heather?
I would certainly agree with that. I think there is this argument that everything is bottom up, and which, to an extent, we all buy into. But to a certain other extent, you know, you look at Norfolk and Suffolk, which has now had Cambridgeshire and Peterborough, and added on to it,
thrown into the pot
under the government's direction.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know the geography well enough to be able to say whether that was the right decision or not. But equally, if you're central government and you're saying everything's bottom up, can you then come back and force people to join into a combined authority that you've told
no,
them?
No, clearly not. It's too late. I mean, it's too late for that now.
Were they lulled into a false sense of achievement because of how their first engagement or significant engagement would have been with Greater Manchester? And in their sense, they saw a place that kind of got it, that it had its act together. There was a sense of consensus. You know, there's actually a sense of identity as well, which underpinned and still underpins the notion of Greater Manchester. You know, begrudgingly, I think probably people of Wigan and Oldham do see themselves as being part of Greater Manchester. I'm looking to Brian and he can tell me otherwise. But did that create a false sense of, oh, okay, we can allow this to emerge and other places will similarly, you know, come to the right decisions or not? Brian?
I guess they probably didn't think they were strong enough or wanted to try and impose a single template on every area and pin their hopes on one big example, plus a deadline and a set of powers on offer were going to do the job for them. And to some extent it has. A lot of places you'd never have expected to to come together have come together because they realise that if they don't, they'll be left out. But it's a messy process. But I'm struggling to think of what a non-messy process in England would look like. That's what Prescott thought, very simple, we're not going to get into all these arguments about boundaries, we're just going to take the government office regions that Heseltine created that were there in the Second World War, that the ONS uses, it stops all the arguments, but it failed, didn't work. It was too artificial, so ever since then they've been trying to build it from the bottom up, and it's complicated.
Mm. The ingenuity of the Greater Manchester deal, of course, was that it forced Labour on board, because Osborne did it. The very initial reaction from Labour MPs outside of that area, and indeed from Ed Balls, was one of real suspicion and almost opposition.
Indeed.
Until it became apparent that the Greater Manchester Labour MPs were on board. Obviously all the councils were on board, and the fact that the deal included a huge amount of health spending as well did shake the whole debate up. And from that point on, I think Labour felt that they couldn't go back anymore. They had to go forward with this.
I think it's also worth remembering that AGMA has been in existence for a decade before any of this started. Mm. So if you look at Manchester, it is clean and but it's had 10 years of practice in order to get there. And if you look at other areas of the country, I mean, and West Midlands, for all the difficulties it's having, the speed at which it's not quite got to the same stage as Manchester, but the speed at which it's got there is much, much faster. It's quite incredible how quickly consensus has come in order to try and move forward in this agenda.
Mm. You said something earlier on, Heather, about you wondered how long this agenda may last if Osborne is no longer either the Chancellor or who knows what might happen. He may not even be in the cabinet. Just say a little bit more about that, and whether then you get a sense that local government and cities are, you know, hedging their bets, hanging on, in the sense that this is a one-time agenda that will disappear if Osborne disappears. Is that a fair sense? Say a little bit more about that.
I think the situation is sort of twofold. I think if Osborne is no longer in government, it depends on who comes in. One would hope that, you know, Boris Johnson's been mooted as a future Prime Minister. Mm. One would hope that he would be on board with the devolution agenda, given his past. Mm. But we know from past history that government ministers who've been council leaders in the past aren't always that supportive of councils. So so you can't bet on that.
No.
However, I think for the cities they're moving forward at pace, and because it is an easier agenda for the cities, I think a lot of the counties, it's not as easy an agenda. There is all sorts of difficulties that are coming to the fore with reorganisation. The money is not on the table that is being offered, from what I understand, that's been offered to the cities. So they are much further behind. And I think a lot of them are hedging their bets. I think the cities will be moving forward expecting this to continue. Although I know you said the West Midlands has mixed feelings on it. But in terms of the counties, I think a lot of them will wait to see what's happening with the EU referendum and what the future's going to look like in terms of who the future leader might be.
Yeah, Brian?
I guess even if the worst happened to George Osborne and is no longer in office after the EU referendum, the process, at least as far as the cities is concerned, is pretty far advanced. It's in legislation. We've got the combined authorities being created. We've got the mayor elections coming next spring. So you wouldn't, and I'm not aware of an alternative agenda out there to completely overturn all that by anybody. So you would assume that would continue to some degree thereafter. But I think that then it gets, certainly where there are unresolved areas. The question is, will there be the same drive behind the agenda to make it work in practice as there has been under George Osborne. I think possibly here more, in a sense, more of the Northern powerhouse idea than of the devolution itself.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
As that clearly does is heavily dependent on central government working with the local authorities to make that agenda work. Big infrastructure decisions to come. How those would be affected, I just don't know.
No. What do you think would happen in the West Midlands area, Paul, if Osborne was no longer on the scene or not as prominent?
Well, of course, there have been a lot of false dawns on devolution for many years. But I do agree that I think it's gone too far now for the city, for the city regions to be easily unravelled. Once you have Metro Mayors in place, of course, in the West Midlands next year, it will become even more difficult for whoever might replace George Osborne to go back on this if they wanted to. I'll just give you a quick example of the police commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
A year or so ago, I think, certainly Labour were saying, we'll get rid of them. And the Conservatives seemed a bit uncertain as to whether they should continue. But now they're continuing, and I don't think there's any political agenda to get rid of them. So once you get somewhere, once you get into this kind of devolved structure, I think it's going to be difficult to get rid of what exists. But I absolutely agree that as far as the counties are concerned and the deals that are yet to be done, that some way down the line, then yeah, they could be in danger.
Mm. It's an interesting one, I think, around how that plays out. I mean, what's the sense on whether we could or should or may see any return to regions? You know, is a sense that regions have had their day? You know, because Lord Prescott is still a very firm advocate of regions, and I think if he had his way, he would reintroduce them tomorrow if he had the power to do so. But is the appetite and the interest in regions any broader than that? I don't see any appetite in the current Conservative government, but I wonder whether there's still a lingering sense of them in amongst Labour, the Labour Party.
Luckily, Lord Prescott isn't in a position to do anything very much, I think. Certainly regions are dead as far as the Conservatives are concerned. I think you're right. I think that there may well still be a lingering appetite in parts of the Labour Party for regions, especially among, as I might put it, Euro fanatics, who think that kind of thing fits in very neatly with the European structure. So I would never ever rule out some kind of regional governance at some future point.
Yeah,
I think it's interesting as well. I mean, if you go back a little bit. I'm a Scot, and the day after the referendum, 7 o'clock in the morning, we had David Cameron outside Number 10 saying, right, well, we've just spent all this time campaigning for the referendum in Scotland, and Scotland's decided to stay. So what does this mean for England?
Mm.
Which I was incredibly offended by. But of course, the point at that point, we were looking at potentially an English Parliament.
Indeed.
Now, that's gone completely out the window. So I think the devolution agenda that local government has picked up and run with and the Treasury, led by the Treasury, has been the sort of alternative to this. There's no regional, strong regional arguments that I can see outside what we've got going on at the moment with the devolution. But I think, you know, I think an English Parliament would be an oddity at this point in time, given that we've got sort of British Parliament, Welsh Parliament and the Scottish Parliament.
You know. Yeah. No, so observer, as an observer, Brian, I mean, a return to regions possibility?
Well, I mean, in England, we've had three waves of regionalism in the past century or sort of several decades. The Second World War was the first, when England was governed by regional commissions, quickly abolished afterwards. Then in the 60s, the Wilson government set up some regional economic bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And then the biggest wave of all was the one we just had, with the regional development agencies. At the moment, I can't see any moves for that to come back, really. In the short term, it would probably take the obvious failure of the route we're going down now for it to come back again as a viable alternative. But things are in such flux these days. As Heather says, who knows what's going to happen if Scotland at some point smokes to become independence. All kinds of things could happen in England. We could have an English Parliament. We could have people pushing for a return to regionalism. You just don't know. And there's been so many changes of direction, you really wouldn't rule anything out.
No, quite. Could you come back to this issue about the significance of local identity, or identity more generally? How important is it, given what we've just discussed about some of these movements being dependent on some degree to the politicians or the personalities of the day, what's the influence and significance of being able to connect to the local identity, or the way that people think about their place, as a way to harness these changes? Heather, just give us a sense as to that, and more particularly, I suppose, where you can see, you know, we can see a map emerging of some of these places, West Midlands and North East and Greater Sheffield and obviously Manchester, where you see some obvious arrangements that seem to be out of kilter. In a sense, we are trying to combine quite radically different, or quite significantly, historically different identities. So,
I love the whole thing about the personality of place. I think it's incredible too that when you look at different cities, they have such different feelings and they have such different personalities.
Yeah.
That run right through everything from the council to the people to the local football teams and everything. I think there are places whereby it's there's quite a strong identity. As you said, Manchester is fairly cohesive, although and as you get further out of cities, it becomes slightly frayed at the edges.
Yeah.
I personally live in Bromley, and I once had the chief executive of Bromley tell me that half his residents think they live in London and the other half think they live in Kent. But equally,
probably true though as well, isn't it?
It's very true.
In many respects, that is actually an accurate portrayal.
It sums up the personality of that particular place brilliantly. But I think, you know, there are places where this is not sitting as well as it perhaps might. So
right.
Manchester is a great example. London is a great example of a city that has a very strong identity.
Mm.
But when you try and look at things like the city region and even places like the West Midlands where Birmingham is very, very strong, but almost to the detriment of the places around it, it becomes a difficult thing. So most people, though, will have an identity based around some of the sort of local areas that we're looking at.
Mm.
There are just a few places where there's less of a draw because we've sort of combined two places together.
Yeah, yeah. Paul?
Well, the West Midlands is a completely artificial construct out of the early 1970s. And the geography of it is quite absurd in some places because you've got Coventry as part of the West Midlands metropolitan area, and then a huge circle for Warwickshire that's left out completely. Whereas anyone could tell you that Coventry and Warwickshire should be part of the same authority because they are, you know, geographically and economically tied to each other. And it's interesting that the West Midlands Combined Authority insisted on calling itself the West Midlands Combined Authority rather than Greater Birmingham, because politicians wouldn't have accepted Greater Birmingham.
Mm.
But next week or a couple of weeks' time, when the West Midlands Combined Authority is at MIPIM,
yes,
in south of France, the property fair, they will be marketing themselves as Greater Birmingham.
Right.
And they're quite open about this. They say, our policy is that we're the West Midlands Combined Authority. That's our name. But for marketing purposes, we're Greater Birmingham.
Right. So that's the way that they're trying to grapple with us.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we're seeing more of that now. And it is this pragmatism that we're seeing. And I get the sense, and it's probably completely unscientific, I get the sense that compared to 20, 30 years ago, people are learning to separate the emotional attachment to their place they live, and whatever administrative arrangement it happens to be part of. That certainly happened in Manchester, where Salford is still a very distinct place, very proud of its independence. But it's perfectly happy to be marketed as part of Manchester as for external marketing purposes and to work in the combined authority. It's different in different places. It's still clearly quite problematic around Bristol, where the rural, largely rural authorities around Bristol really don't want to be part of any devolved body that recreates the old Avon County Council in with the city. And that Bristol itself is looking to its Great Western Cities initiative with Newport and Cardiff, which is more of a northern powerhouse type arrangement. So these things are, it's messy, but it's but people do seem to be thinking of their economic advantage rather than just, is this the place where I belong?
Yeah.
Surely these great parochial rivalries at town hall level will only disappear over a number of years if the combined authorities work, if they seem to be successful. And crucially, if the Metro mayors are seen to be successful, then maybe if we're having this conversation in 10 years' time, people will generally be more relaxed.
I think that, I definitely think that is true. It's interesting, I was interviewing Tony Travers a couple of weeks ago as part of a previous City Talks episode, and he's just finished his book on the London boroughs at 50. But one of the interesting areas we were exploring was the fact that when the new boroughs, the 32 plus the City of London, were actually brought into being, many of them, if not all of them, were the amalgamation of previous boroughs, previous authorities, and some of them were previous boroughs of quite distinct characteristics. Camden is a great one. This brings together Holborn, St Pancras and the King's Cross area, plus Hampstead. Now, anybody that knows that part of the world, they are quite distinct. And yet Camden today, 50 years on, is one of the best performing local authorities probably in the country across a different a range of measures. And people seem to accept that. And I just wonder whether passage of time will help the combined authority of the West Midlands or not. I don't know. What's your sort of your thought on that, Heather? Because that touches a little bit on local government reorganisation, or more particularly the merging or demerging of certain places. And you often hear this a lot: we couldn't possibly do that because these two authorities are quite radically different from each other. So we couldn't possibly merge them. That would result in their identities being lost. But is that true, or is that just a reason not to do things?
It is very much a reason not to do things. And I think, you know, a lot of stories put within local government on local circumstances, and this is what's needed for our local people. Actually, what's needed for local people, the services needed for local people, is often the very, very similar in most areas. Mm. And the differences are important, but they're not always as important as people make out. Mm. I do think that it does take time to amalgamate areas, and as you say about Camden, as you know, I think the combined authorities do need time to bed down. Otherwise, I think the danger is if you keep reorganising, keep shifting boundaries, then nobody gets quite used to what it is. But in some ways, it's never going to be perfect.
No.
So if you take, classic example within local government is, I think it's called the Torremolinos effect, which is a phrase coined in the 70s when you were on a beach in Torremolinos. Where did you say you came from?
Right.
And nobody ever says, I come from Newham. They'll say, I come from Stratford, I come from East London. And I wonder now if people would say,
I come from Newham.
I come from Newham. It's, you know,
Where would they say in the West Midlands? Would they say come to the West Midlands? They wouldn't say Greater Birmingham either, though, would they?
They wouldn't, certainly wouldn't say I come from the West Midlands. Or Greater Birmingham,
no.
I suspect, no. And I think the other thing that we haven't touched on that I ought to say is that for most people, most ordinary people, local government is at best a hazy notion. And I never fail to be amazed at the lack of knowledge of even intelligent people with a good education about councils, or they just really don't know. And so the public perception of the whole devolution debate, combined authority debate, is nil.
Nil.
You know, we're all local government nerds here, so we're interested in it. But
we are.
Most people, I would argue, are not interested in it and don't know anything whatever about it. So it remains up to the politicians to knuckle down and push this through if they really believe in devolution. Because there's never going to be any great groundswell of opinion. People aren't going to be going around with banners saying, we want a Metro Mayor, or we don't want a Metro Mayor.
I agree with that, but that would also suggest that you aren't also going to get a groundswell of resistance either.
Mm, yeah.
So in a sense that, therefore, only from politicians who fear, you know, the loss of sovereignty or loss of power or prestige or whatever you can call it. So that presents an opportunity as well as, you know, you're not going to get a public demand for devolution, but we probably wouldn't get over the barricades resistance either. Brian, what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's probably worth reflecting on kind of what has worked in Manchester over the last 20 years, because it generally seems the model, and it's succeeded so far, despite some pretty severe tensions between the authorities. Legal battle between Manchester and Trafford over the Trafford Centre. There was a big split over congestion charging. They've often fallen out, but the hard truth is they wouldn't have stuck together if they weren't all getting something of mutual benefit out of it. I think it does come down to this: if it seemed to work, if it was perceived to be benefiting from it, it'll stick.
Yeah.
It'll stay. If people think they're losing out compared to their neighbours and not getting a fair treatment and not doing as well as they could have done separately, then it'll start to fall apart.
Mm.
I would say in terms of people not being interested, I think they're not interested in structures, in anything like that. But actually, if you look at the subjects that devolution covers, it's transport, it's getting to work, it's housing, it's jobs, it's skills. These are all the things that are really important to people. And actually, instead of talking, I think what puts people off is that, as local government knows, you know, I am sort of chief cheerleader for local government nerddom. But in terms of moving it forward, if you actually want to engage the public in this, it's actually talking about the issues. And I know that people are far more interested in talking about transport and housing than they're ever going to be talking about who's going to lead local authority.
I think if there's one thing that could kill the regional devolution, the city region devolution agenda, it possibly is if health and social care integration in Greater Manchester fails. If it seemed to create a crisis of bad management in something the public care very deeply about, that will give the whole thing a very, very bad name.
That's a very good point. As we begin to, we're going to get towards a close, I just wanted just to get your thoughts on, do you see this, I mean, we talked a little bit about this being an evolving and continuing process, particularly for our cities, but are you confident, or do you see this then being rolled out, all places of England and as well, or do you think it remains an urban focus?
I think it's got to start with the urban focus. I think inevitably it will have a trickle down effect. I think for me, what you said about health and social care is absolutely key, because this has got to be more than local government. It's got to be a much, much wider than that. This has got to be a public services reform agenda. Because at the moment, the way public services are in this country, there is no foreseeable future where we can continue to sustain public services across the board at the level we've got, with the demographic pressures and everything moving forward, unless we can find a way of making it more efficient and working better together.
Mm.
So for me, it's far more than just about local government structures. It's in a way, if Manchester can't make care and health work, then we're in deep trouble.
Mm, that's a very good point. Paul, how do you see it evolving? I mean, nationally, but also, looking forward in the West Midlands area, what do you see happening over the next 5 or 10 years?
Well, I should just say that the integration of health and council spending is crucial,
mm-hmm.
because councils will not be able to afford to look after ever-increasing numbers of elderly people.
Yeah.
And Birmingham City Council, just by a way of explanation, has said that it needs to save £90 million over the next 4 years to integrating its services with the NHS.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody really knows whether that's going to be possible or not. Which brings me on to my main point, really, which is that as long as you have a government that is reliant on so-called bottom-up devolution and sits back and says, it's up to you. Clearly, it's going to be a very slow process, or quite a slow process, certainly outside of the city regions. But I do think it's here to stay, because I don't think either this government or a future Labour government is going to go back on that. And that will be particularly so as things go on, as time goes by and these arrangements are bed in.
So do you see the imperative to step in increasing over time for central government, or do you think they will be able to maintain this sort of situation where they dip in and they dip out, but they are reluctant to step in and formally impose structure?
I think there's been quite a lot of stepping in behind the scenes
that
we don't know about.
Yeah.
I know that George Osborne and his organisers had words to say to the West Midlands about, come on, get on with it. You know, you've got to reach an agreement.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's the case in other parts of the country as well.
Yeah, yeah. Brian, some final thoughts from you on where we see this going over the next 5 or 10 years.
I'd say I'm moderately optimistic about where the agenda is going and whether it will work. But I think there are going to be some huge pressures over the next few years. The austerity agenda and the growing cost of healthcare and social care is going to test this system to a much greater extent than we've seen recently. It's going to test the quality of the new mayors hugely, and also the council leaders and the senior council officials. Success isn't a given. It'll probably work better in some places than others. But overall, I'm hopeful, I think.
My guests today have been Brian Groom, Heather Jameson and Paul Dale. Thanks very much. Thank you for listening to this episode of City Talks, brought to you by the Centre for Cities. We're an independent, non-partisan think tank dedicated to understanding and improving city economies. For more on our research and events programme, including our extensive back catalogue, please visit our website, centreforcities.org.